So let's see, we've got Natalie, I see Brian, I see Lisa. Ryan texted me and said he will be late, and so we're waiting for Stan, I guess. Have we heard anything from Stan?
No.
Okay, well, let's give him another minute or two. Good. Tyler. Hey, Tyler.
Yes.
So I'm getting complaints from neighbors up by the golf course. The chain link fence on hole number, it has to be six. Is that what it is? The green chain link fence along Eagle Ridge Drive.
I did see that there's that spot that's kind of jutted out. I'm not sure if a sledder or somebody went through that and busted out. I did see that driving by.
I don't know if we can get somebody to fix that or make it look better.
Yeah. Okay. I'll check with Weston, send him a picture and see if he can come or get somebody to do that. But that's a good thought.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And I see Stan here. So Ryan said he would be joining us a little bit late. Let me pull up my agenda so that I can see it, get the right agenda here. So I'd like to welcome everyone to our work session. In keeping with the recommendations of federal, state, and local authorities to limit public gatherings in order to control the spread of COVID-19 and in accordance with the Utah Open Public Meetings Act, specifically Utah Code 52-4-2074, the City of North Salt Lake City Council and meeting presenters will participate electronically via video conference. Now, that's not the technical thing I'm supposed to read, is it? Or is that close enough?
I wasn't following the verbatim language, but it sounded right.
It was right. It's exactly the same that we read in Planning Commission.
Okay. It seemed a little different than what I'm used to, but that's okay. So I'd like to welcome everyone out to our work session this evening. The first item on the agenda is a department report, kind of, I guess. Ken is just going to go over some items that we need to be thinking about for the fiscal year 2022 budget. And then we can give him ideas. You guys are just in the budgeting process now, I guess, Ken, starting
yes,
hot
we are.
Heavy. Yeah. And so if we have items that we'd like to discuss, it's probably best that we give them to Ken now so that we can make sure he has time to address them. So with that, Ken, let me turn some time over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm just going to try and share my screen here. Start a slideshow. We've experimented on this and can everybody see my whole slide there? Looks okay, all right. I put this up just so we can make sure I've done this right, but let me just take a moment before I get started on running through some projects for you. This tonight, this time is really intended to be a high level overview. I want to know all your questions and concerns, any that you have. But I just wanted to say tonight that we're trying to kind of give you an overview of the things that the staff is working on, both right now and what we see on the near horizon in the next year's budget. This doesn't cover everything that is in front of the city. And I know that there are concerns out there that are not going to be on this list. And we can certainly talk about those. We want to know what those are. But I thought it would be helpful to you to kind of know this kind of the idea to take this hour in the work session came from one of our last meetings. I think it was the last meeting. And it might have been you, Mayor, and some others that noted that the city has a lot going on right now. And that was certainly true. That's certainly true. And it's sometimes, I think we just need to have a discussion like this so that everybody knows what's in front of us and what we're working on. So if you'll, I know it's a bit of an indulgence for me to take the whole, you know, the whole work session, but I think you'll find it informative today and it should generate some questions. So let me just start with this project, which is one of the bigger projects. These are all major projects that you're gonna see. This is one of the biggest projects we've undertaken in quite some time. As you know, we have a request for proposals that's been published for a water and stormwater master plan update project. So this is storm drainage and all aspects of water in the city. Now we have several project goals for this project, and it's a complex project. It's a big project. It takes expertise and it takes an engineering firm with lots of experience in different areas. And so we're expecting to get some pretty complex responses back. But here's a list, I've called them project goals. Here's what we've asked for in that request for proposals. The city has a water model that it's been using. We've done a pretty good, our in-staff engineers, Karen Baxter, has done a pretty good water model that's now a couple of years old. We're gonna check in with this consulting firm and make sure that our water model is accurate, and we'll probably have a new water model as a result of this project. And that deals with water sources, where we get our water, our storage capacities, and whether they're adequate or not, and our distribution system. And as I go through these goals, this is gonna be like every other master plan where we end up adopting a set of recommendations and things that the city's gonna commit itself to. And it's really a plan for how we move forward in water and stormwater. So that's the first thing. The next one is really important, as you might imagine, and that is an analysis of our future water needs. And this has been a concern of the staff for a little while since we adopted the general plan, where we've added a lot more density in the town center, as an example. We have an annexation out on the west side of town that's potentially would impact the water system quite heavily. We have major water users like Big West Oil, which we need to run a couple of scenarios on because their water usage is changing. And we need to know in our storm drain system where we have weaknesses and deficiencies. So that's really the analysis there. As I said, we'll have some recommendations, and those include projects. So this would be new projects, replacement projects. It seems maybe self-evident that we know where the pipes are that are leaking, and that's true. We know some of the projects that need to be done, but it's good to get an objective outside set of eyes on our system. We think that we'll end up doing some new technical specifications as we look at all of these matters. And then one item that we've been talking about regularly every year, it seems, is a water conservation strategy. And that's going to be an important piece moving forward as we enter a time when we are not growing anymore. We're not going to be getting any additional water rights. And we need to live within our means, so to speak, as water becomes more expensive and could become more scarce depending on long-term weather patterns and just how the state of Utah deals with water and how it's provided to the urban areas of the Wasatch Front. We want to perform a rate study for our water and storm drain utility fees. It's been a few years since we've done that. And we want to, and so water conservation and rates typically go together. And so we want to have some analysis done on that. And then, as I mentioned, we have these growth areas potentially that we need to study. So those are the main sections of this project. We expect, and one thing we did that maybe you know and maybe you don't know, is that we held an open house, not an open house, we held an information meeting for any firms that were interested in responding to the RFP, where we shared information about the project, detailed information, we took questions and answers, and it was a really successful workshop for those who participated. And so we expect our responses to come back a week from Thursday, that's the 28th of the month. And then from there, we will make a selection. And the selection process will take a little while. And it may be that the council, I'm sure that the council will wanna have presentations perhaps from the finalists, one or two firms, so that you can hear the methodology and ask questions before we award a bid for this project. So I'm not sure what the pricing is gonna come back as. I put a range in here that where I thought it could come in as low as a couple hundred thousand or as high as 350,000, but that's a guess. We won't know until we get our responses back. Again, it's a complicated project. It requires lots of staff time, lots of modeling analysis. And so this will not be an inexpensive project. So, okay, I'll just move on. And if you have questions again, ask me those questions anytime. Here's another project you're really familiar with. The Parks and Recreation Master Plan needs an update. And you can see some of the major pieces of this project. We've added some open space to the city. We have some open space yet to plan, Hatch Park, Tunnel Springs Park. And I do have a slide on Tunnel Springs Park. We can, because we have a little more discussion we want to have on that. The Eagle Point landslide property we've added to the city's open space in the last year. We feel like we need to revisit our annual maintenance program. That's right now running through the Parks and Arts Committee for a recommendation. That will come forward in your budget deliberations. That is a plan and a funding plan for an annual commitment to upgrading and repairing our city parks. We have some beautification initiatives. Those are mostly tree planting initiatives that are in the general plan that we want to add to the master plan together with a commitment. And then some potential trail expansions, which our Parks Committee is looking at. We're proposing to hire a consultant for this project. We're working right now on an RFP for it. Sherry's working on that. Our funding source would be the park impact fees. And let me just say one thing about this funding. I think this is the range of how much it would cost. I would also put out the idea that we have some expertise among the city staff where we could do this project. If we took that route, it may not be as comprehensive, or it may be an abbreviated Parks and Recreation Master Plan update, but the city staff does have the capability to assist the city in putting together an update to this master plan. So keep that in mind as we go through this.
Ken?
Yes.
Can I jump in just for a sec?
Absolutely.
You know, I'm trying to be cautious, I guess, is the right word. I was going to say, we've got great ideas. I know David has great ideas. It seems like we've been talking for a couple of years now about the parks, and I know government moves slow, but God, I just want to get going here. And let's have David tell us what he's got in mind, and maybe we're good with it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm only one voice on the council. And
if I'm hearing you, you're suggesting that we get city staff working on it and we just go for it and start having some meetings and get it done.
And if it's not perfect in the end, it's okay.
It doesn't have to be perfect in the end. No, I think that's why I put that in there, because I just think we have some really capable city staff. We have capable processes. And I think time is our only problem amongst the city staff. We're just whether we have the time to do it, but we'll make the time. I mean, these are all things that have to be prioritized. And so I appreciate that, Councilman. The next one is a project.
Can just to go back to that, do you guys have the expertise to do the impact fees, or do we need an outside study for that?
I think with respect to impact fees, I think it's always good to have a third party perform the impact fee analysis for us. That's my recommendation to the council always. Impact fees are subject to such challenge that I think it's always better to have an outside consultant that is established as an impact fee expert in the state of Utah do our fee studies for us. That answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, great. This project, we don't need to spend a ton of time on this project. This is a project that's going on right now. The reason I put it in here is because the design of this project is underway. We have our first steering committee meeting next week on this. But shortly after that, we are gonna need to make some decisions about funding. And we'll talk more. I'm working into a funding discussion here at the end of my presentation so that we can talk about that. But this project is moving along. I think that in a short amount of time, we'll have a concept plan to take out to the public. We want to get some good public input on this plan. We have lots of capable people that are on the steering committee. Ryan Mumford's representing the council. And of course, anyone on the council, if you're interested, you'd be invited to participate. I think the more the better. We are probably interested in having a planning commission member join us on the steering committee. And then a lot of staff that is involved. So this is moving along. I just wanted you to know that shortly this will turn in your fiscal year 2022 budget deliberations. We're going to talk about how to pay for this expansion of Hatch Park.
Send out an invitation for that steering committee meeting, Ken?
Sure. You bet. Okay, the Foxborough Wetlands Park, I just wanted to give you a status update on this. We have BioWest, who is our consultant on this project. They've been helping us for a couple of years now, performing studies on the wetlands, and they are preparing our submittal to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for a permit to do this project. And so that activity is budgeted. And I recently authorized it because I've done some analysis on a funding source that we'll talk about in a few minutes. And so I think we have a funding opportunity here. We have an existing grant of $150,000 that we have to use in this calendar year, or we'll lose that grant. We want to identify funding right away. We want to complete the plans for construction and begin the work. The one item on here that's frustrating is that we recently completed under the contract with BioWest a 70% completion of the project plans. That is, they're working towards construction plans and they're 70% complete. It came with a cost estimate. And since we've been talking about this project, it's now increased in cost to $3.2 million. So there are things that we've added to the project. And I think I would suggest that soon we have kind of a work meeting on this project where we can go through that detailed cost estimate. And this project might, again, lend itself to a good phasing plan. I was a little disappointed that our construction costs are estimated to be so much higher. Now, this does include quite a bit of contingency and mobilization, and there are ways. We have not finished evaluating the cost estimate. There might be ways for us to get that down, but I don't think we're going to cut $1 million out of it. So, again, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about funding in a few minutes here. Tunnel Springs Park completion is an interesting project. The one thing we haven't done on this project is really identify the end use of our excess property at Tunnel Springs. So that's really what needs to happen. And we ought to do that during our budget deliberations or sooner if the council wants to have a discussion item on this. There are some options. There's more options than what I put on this slide, but these are ones that we've talked about, and there might be others. So I think this is one in particular that the city council probably needs some discussion time on, and we'll need to make some decisions as a governing body so that the staff kind of knows what direction you want to go here. But anyway, this is part of the master plan update, depending on what we do here. But I also just wanted to kind of put this project into perspective of where it is. And one of the reasons why we haven't moved on it is, there are lots of reasons, but the main reason is we haven't been able to, I should say it differently. We haven't known what was going to happen with the soils and the spoils from the landslide. And we now know the end result of that. And so now that excess property is available for us to do something with. So we ought to move that along. This project is a multi-phase project, the 1100 North Bridge feasibility study, and I should say, and construction. We want to perform this study mostly because it will get us to a shovel ready status on this project, which is a really great status to be in, considering the state's continual investment in transportation projects and infrastructure. We want to get some public input. We need to go talk to, we need to identify and go talk to property owners, and we need to zero in on the costs of construction and the sources of funding for construction, and mostly just get those plans done so that we have an actual project that we can go out and start working to get project money for. So let me tell you where we are right now. We've begun the process of preparing a request for proposals. I'm trying to use Horrocks Engineering as an assistant for that, helping us put together the correct RFP. The estimated cost for the project is $2 million. We have a grant. We were awarded a grant from Davis County through the third quarter cent sales tax fund, which is the new tax in the county. And then we would combine that with $1 million in city roadway impact fees. We have slightly over $2 million in roadway impact fees right now. And this would be the proposed use of $1 million of roadway impact fees. So So that's this project, and I'm still trying to get Davis County to work to get us a clearer path to get the $1 million grant. They want to do an agreement with us, and I've encouraged them to please get us a draft of that agreement, that we have waited a lot longer than we wanted to for this third quarter cent grant. And so anyway, I'm still working through that with county staff right now. Any questions on that?
Yeah, just a couple of things on that grant. If this ends up extending more than 1 year, we probably ought to apply again for more grant funds. And I'm assuming from this that you're saying that Woods Cross has turned us down.
Yes, Woods Cross has turned us down at this point for participation in this project. However, I told Gary Oresk that when we were ready to issue or award a bid, that we would be making another request of Woods Cross to participate.
Okay. And just, this is an aside, but it's county grant funds again. What's the status on the marketplace across the street as far as the facade grant?
I may have to have Sherry answer that for us. Last I knew, we had some plans being worked on, but Sherry, do you know the answer to that?
Can you repeat the question?
The question's about the marketplace across from City Hall, the facade grant program on Highway 89.
I will have to check with Al. I know that he was working on some plans with JZW. Then they were going to sign the contract, but I think it was signed. So let me double check, and I will send you an email tomorrow.
Thank you.
I know, Mayor, that we've worked with the property owner, and we've worked out. He had some questions and difficulty with how the grant was put together from the county, and we worked through all those things. Basically, he felt like he didn't want to advance the funds, because he didn't have the funds, and I can understand that. So we've worked through those things. So I hope that it's moving along. Okay. This project is the Eaglewood Golf Course renovation project, which has really been at the level of Tyler Abeglin and myself and the golf committee, though Brian Horrocks is a member of that committee. And if he wants to chime in, I'd love to have you chiming in. So, for the last several months, the golf committee has been working through the city. We hired an architect, JZW Architects, to do two projects. One was a project that looked at the exterior of the golf course clubhouse and the surrounding grounds. And we have some beautiful concept plans for some ideas for the exterior of the building. And then the second thing that they're starting to work on for us is a renovation of the interior reception center area. So that's what's really going on. The golf course committee will be reviewing those architectural work products and will make a recommendation to the city council, I assume, in the next 60 days, so that you will have the benefit of discussing this in your budget process. We will work to get you details that you need to make a decision about this. I recognize that it's more than likely it's new debt that we would issue, and that may be difficult, but we will put together all the analysis. Fortunately, we have a general manager in Tyler who is really changing the operation up there, and we experienced far less loss in just the few months he's been here than we have in a long, long time. So, anyway, that's that project, which will be you'll be considering that in your budgeting process coming up. So let me summarize. As I said, we get to funding here, and I do I want, this is, there's two slides here on funding. This graphic is really just to show you some of our major projects and the possibilities of how those would be funded. And so, you know, we have some park impact fees, we have road impact fees, we have some wrap tax, the possibility of some new debt. We do have grants that we have two grants right now, as I mentioned earlier, one for the Foxborough Wetlands Park, a small grant, and one, and then the $1 million grant for the 1100 North Bridge. Citywide beautification is really tree plantings, landscaping improvements, those kinds of things. And I think it's all, I think it's possible to obtain grants there, matching grants. And then you see under the Eaglewood Golf Course renovation, new debt and user fees, which are really golf fees. So anyway, these are, I just wanted, again, as I said at the very beginning, we're talking in generalities here. We're talking in an overview format, but these are the kinds of things that we will look at in detail in your budget meetings coming up and in a retreat. I have an assignment from the council to report back on CDA funding. And this has been on our assignment action item list for a while. I wanted to report a little bit about this tonight. I've finished some projections and analysis of our assessor data and related to these two CDA projects and the TIF collection that's happening. I'll start with Highway 89. The US 89 CDA was triggered in 2019. And we have some obligations within that redevelopment project area that go to Brighton Homes. We have some projects that we could reimburse ourselves for, like on the 130 East improvements that we've made. Some of the participation we've made with Brighton Homes, we could reimburse ourselves for through CDA funds. But after the obligations, the contractual obligations are done and are set aside for housing and are set aside for administration, I believe that we'll have $3.4 million available over the next 12 to 13 years of TIF collection in this CDA project area. So that's good news for the area, for the town center. I think that it's also potentially good news for maybe a first phase of Hatch Park. And, you know, these are discussions we'll want to have. They're kind of policy discussions. You may not want to use all of the projected unallocated revenues for Hatch Park because you might want to do other things in the town center. But I just wanted the council to know that that amount of money looks to be available and is coming in regularly from Davis County. So this is not, while this is projected revenue, it's also actual revenue that we've started to receive in both cases of these two CDAs. So, and then as we move to the Redwood Road CDA, we also have obligations there by contract. We did some economic development incentives for Lee's Marketplace, and you'll remember those a few years ago. This CDA was triggered about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, actually. And so we have 8 years left of TIF collection. And we think after our obligations, which will be paid off this year, our contract obligations to AmSource at Lee's Marketplace will be done in this fiscal year, not next fiscal year, but this one that we're in. And we'll have almost $8 million available, $7.75 million available. The good news there is that we can also use this CDA revenue stream for Foxborough Wetlands Park. You can use as much or as little of that as you wish. Here's really where we need to head on these two CDAs. We need to, and the city staff is prepared to do this. We need to, as part of our fiscal year 22 budget process, put together proposed plans for use of these CDA funds within the town center and the Redwood Road area. So the city staff will do that, and you'll see a recommended list of projects and expenditures that will utilize these funds, and then the council will be able to have input and choose and adopt a spending plan for these funds. And so it's not that
can you just make sure that you look at a wide variety of options and make sure that you bring that's a fair amount of money, and there are a variety of things that we've talked about in the past meetings, and
yes,
you know, maybe trying to buy some additional land to make sure it develops property. Can you make sure you give us some wide variety of options that we can get?
Sure, we can do that. And I appreciate that, Mayor. So those plans for those CDAs will be part of your budget deliberations. And I think when the council expressed in a previous meeting that this would be kind of that there's a lot going on right now, there really is a lot going on. These are, some of these are really good challenges that, you know, we're lucky to have these kinds of resources available to us. We want to be careful how we move forward, but we want to be purposeful also, and we want to make sure that we are providing the public benefit that the public expects and that you expect as we look at these, at the uses of this public of these public resources. So that's really kind of all I had, Mayor, is kind of an overview of my projects, of the big projects. It, of course, it's not a complete list. And we have capital improvement plans that, of course, we'll talk about too, road repairs, road projects, water projects, and other things. And we'll share those five-year plans with the council as we go through the budget process. I do think, I've had some input. This is the last thing I have. I have had some input from the council, from some of the council members. Sorry, I'll stop my screen share here. That have indicated that perhaps the format of the budget retreat ought to be what it used to be, which is rather than different departments on different nights, we get together again and we spend 4 to 6 hours on a Saturday so that you can get a complete picture all at the same time. And some of you have said to me that it was a little more difficult to do those departments one at a time and not really have a retreat. This year in the pandemic was a little different, I understand. So anyway, think about that. We don't have to make a decision tonight, but I think as we think about getting together to talk about our next fiscal year, you might want to consider having a get together with several hours and several departments reporting to you at the same time like we used to do. So that's all.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
I should know that Ryan joined us at 6:09 is what time he texted me and said he was online. So welcome, Ryan. Are there any questions from the council for Ken or any suggestions that we should talk about? We're talking about a lot of money here. Obviously, these are long-term things that we're looking at, and who knows if we'll be able to figure out how to do all of them in the short term, but I think there are things that we're looking at and maybe how to at least plan out how we take care of them in the long term. Any questions from the council? If not, let's go ahead and move forward to the minutes. Are there any comments on the minutes, or is there a motion? I did have one small comment, if I can find it here. Need more windows open. And that is, let me see if I can find it here. I think you guys can pick up my comments if I put them just in on
Dropbox?
Yeah.
Yeah, Linda and I noticed you made a comment on Dropbox.
Yeah, I can't find it now though.
I think it was on page 10 of the minutes.
It says page 10, but I don't have page numbers on here.
I think it was related, Mayor, to the discussion of the rec district.
Recreation district, yeah. No. It would have been, do you have a line number?
Yes, line 290. I think.
Okay. Yeah, so 290, and I said the minutes say that it could be done. I don't know that I said that it could be. I don't know that I think it could be. I just think it could possibly be done. So if we could just add possibly after the word could.
Mayor, you said that $2.5 million had been set aside for the facility. Is there another spot you're talking about?
No, other than, I don't know, I can't say that the mitigating the wetlands could be done for that amount. I could hopefully be done, maybe is the wording that we should
put. Or could possibly be done, hopefully.
Or possibly is, yeah. And I don't know, I haven't done any research on it. But that's quite a bit of money to mitigate, so. That's the only comment I had. Are there any comments from the council, or is there a motion to approve?
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of January 5, 2021 with that one correction.
Second.
Motion by Brian Horrocks, seconded by Ryan Mumford. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, that motion was unanimous. The next item on the agenda is the action items. Does anybody have anything on the action items they'd like to discuss?
Mr. Mayor, was there a follow-up on, as we talked about the rec district, and that's one of the action items, on that meeting, the public meeting from the 13th, have we heard how that went or yeah. What any new information about that?
Yeah, I was going to do it in my report, but I can do it right now as long as you're asking. It was actually a good meeting. I can't remember exactly how many they had on, probably 30 to 40 people. They went over both plans, the expansion of the existing part of the existing facility, which adds a 50 meter pool and does some modernization on the inside, as well as a satellite facility. And you know, I think to do both of them, I think the monthly tax rate goes up $2 to $3 a month. So that's $50 a year or something, $40 a year. But there was general consensus that people liked the idea, and I think the support on Wednesday, you know, the 13th, was positive for it. So I don't know how it went, how the open house went the next Saturday. I didn't attend that. That was a in-person meeting. So, but it went positive. So,
Mayor, can I just Did you get my email? Did they ever look into that property that I kind of recommended? I think that.
They're looking at property right now. I think when we met, Mayor Earnshaw from Woods Cross was talking to somebody that they think might be there. Your property, is that the old GE building? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, an old GE building. Quite a bit of land there. Is by our bridge that we want to put in, but I don't think it'd go quite that far.
Yeah.
Or at least we could make workarounds.
What do we do? What do we do? What do we do?
It'd be nice to keep our tax base and not use it, not lose it, because if a rec facility won't be generating any property taxes. But like I said, Mayor Earnshaw had a piece they were looking at, and I think the general consensus is something more in Woods Cross would be more central. And so we'll have to see how it goes, but they're looking at all the properties, and I think Ken and Sherry are talking to them as well.
Yeah, we're doing some looking around.
Yeah, I realize that that might take a little away from our tax base at some point in time, but on the other hand, it is a nice road. I mean, 1100 North is a major road to get there, I think.
Yeah.
Centrally located in Woods Cross, I don't know what you're going to take to get there.
Yeah, I'm not sure where Mayor Earnshaw was looking, but I mean, it's still, they're still a little ways out. I don't know how much that building would be. So they only have $2.5 million, but maybe they could use part of the facility, the building there as well, like you said.
So. Okay.
Anything else on the action items? If not, let's go ahead and move forward to the council reports. So let's start with Brian.
This isn't.
Did you say Ryan or Brian?
I said Brian. You're first on my list.
Mayor, I don't have anything tonight.
Okay. Natalie?
I have nothing to report.
Lisa?
I have nothing to report really, but I wanted to comment how sad I was to see what happened at our state capitol, and that I commit as a city councilwoman to do better every day to make peace and clarity.
Thank you. Ryan?
Thank you. So we are, as Ken mentioned, that steering committee for Hatch Park redesign is on Monday the 25th, just starting up next week. And so that's gonna be kind of a big effort. You know, what I've been thinking a lot about this, and Dave Franson sent off this amazing email, and I've been texting with Ken a little bit, but I really think that this Hatch Park redesign could be something that will impact the city for the next 100 years or beyond. And really gonna set kind of a tone of our city center. And so this is something I just really wanna get right. And that's, I think, Mr. Mayor, your comments were on the nose with our CDA funds. We're not gonna have that type of money with CDA funds again for quite some time. And whatever we choose to do with those funds will direct what the city looks like or the direction it moves for the next 25 years. And so I think we, even though we're in the middle of COVID, we have an unusual budget year, we really have a huge obligation this budget cycle to get some of these things right and to set the tone correctly. So I'm really excited about this meeting and where that could go. We had an unusual flare up in smell events over the past last 2 weeks. Which this is from the resource recovery plant, and we haven't had them for quite a while. And you know, it's always funny, right when things get going well and you haven't had them, then we just get, it's not just like one, it's like 6 days in a row you get hit. So I sent off an email to Dale, and I noticed that they did some positive communication through Facebook announcing the new kind of essential oil sprayers that are going into the fence line. And so I'm assuming that that those will be installed soon. So maybe those will start to reduce. So I'm still tracking and seeing complaints, but I really got inundated this last week. It seemed like the complaints were coming from all over this last time and not just in my area.
What time of the day?
You know, they used to always kind of hit right in the evening at 9, but we got hit all throughout the day. So during that week when it was just so bad, it wasn't like it was consistent. It was just lots of different times we would get hit. And I'd see people complaining on Facebook or get comments, but they weren't always the same time of the day. And so it felt like something different than what we were experiencing before, where it used to hit at like 9 p.m. every night, right? Like I started walking at 9 and I could almost guarantee that sometime during that 45 minute walk, I would get hit with a wave. And it hasn't been like that for the last few weeks. And these ones would hit in the middle of the day. So it was very unusual.
Well, the good news is that nobody got their new bill from the sewer district going up 50%.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. You know, we used to get billed $30 exactly every 6 months. And you know, this last bill just hit at 93. And it's just a little too bad that it hit right when we had this bag event. It was just poor timing that they happened to coincide. So I'm sure that helped flare up tension and frustration about the smell.
Okay. All right. Well, we meet Thursday, so I'll talk to Dal about it.
Thank you so much. Those are all of my comments.
Okay. Stan?
Our Jordan River Commission meeting, they're talking about a lot of projects and a lot of money, but they did mention North Salt Lake. I guess we're Chief maybe can jump in, but I guess they're allowing us to join their security money that they have to secure our little portion of the Jordan River.
So thank you, Stan. We got an email from them saying that if money does come available, we are on their list. Do you know if that has come to pass yet?
No, I think they've got the money. The way they talked in the meeting that it was a done deal, they didn't mention anything about if we get the money. So
I will review the email from them. It sounded to me like an if, but we will follow up with that. And even though we were not allowed to participate from an overtime basis last year, we still deployed some of our other proactive overtime shifts out on that trail just to make sure that we're not seeing it deteriorate kind of like we're as maybe south of us a little bit.
Yeah, mostly just the homeless camps and people deciding to set up.
Thank you.
I think that's all we really had to report, Mayor.
All right. Thank you. David, do you have anything to report?
No, I do not. I can't think of anything going on.
Okay. Ken, how about you?
I was just going to report on a couple of activities we're doing in preparation for the legislative session. And I don't know if I've been derelict. Maybe, Mayor, do we want to have our legislators come to a council meeting here in the next week or two, next couple of meetings? I mean, you can think about
that. You know, it probably wouldn't hurt. I know they've been doing, I don't know if anybody else got on their community meeting thing, but I think there are things coming up that we probably ought to talk about. In particular, Chief, do you know anything that they're, as far as placing bills, because I think that's going to be a hot topic that we probably need to talk to them about.
There's several that are out there. Some are not numbered yet. And the Law Enforcement Legislative Committee is reviewing these things at least once a week, and I'm participating in those meetings. Ken and I have talked a little bit about one that probably isn't as much of a policing issue as it is a justice court issue, but I think it's worthwhile for the council to be aware of it. Ken, do you want me to discuss it? Do you want to?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
So, Representative Malloy is proposing a bill that would restrict a justice court, well, any judge, but it would particularly affect justice court judges, to suspend a driver's license for failure to pay traffic fines. The the flip side to that is really the only recourse after that is a warrant. And I know I've even mentioned this to the mayor before a little bit. Sometimes it feels like some of these individuals just kind of get hit by the traffic court train, but I think that is a short-sighted bill that would jump straight to someone going to jail instead of having to deal with a suspended driver's license at a judge's discretion if they're not paying their traffic fines. You know, if the legislature doesn't want to criminalize traffic, then that's really the way they should study it and go. But to start taking away tools of our justice court, and basically say either let them go or they have to go to jail, I think is not a really wise position to put the police in, because, you know, depending on how high of a bail and how bad a judge seems to want this person, could make a decision whether or not they're in jail or not, or have other options to, you know, try to get to work or other things. So that's one that's of concern to us that's numbered right now. Others I'm kind of trying to keep Ken up to date on for the league, and I'm sure he is, when appropriate, reaching out to you guys where you can help, which is in a lot of places.
So I just mentioned, thank you, Craig. I would just mention two efforts going on right now. One is a bill from our Representative Ward, and I think, Mayor, you probably could comment on this, about accessory dwelling units. It's an interesting bill that that makes accessory dwelling units much more permissible throughout the state, and which I think probably is not a surprise, given that we have a lot of people working on housing and housing affordability right now. And so that bill is in front of us. I've been part of a couple of housing committees outside of the League of Cities and Towns, where there's one in particular, it's a pretty influential group of public and private partners that get together and talk about housing affordability, the housing crisis, which is really a lack of housing in general, but also housing pricing and just a number of things about housing generally. And I had a chance to talk to Representative Ward. I expressed to him that North Salt Lake was very supportive in general of housing and providing a variety of different housing types. And he agreed, and we're getting somewhat of a reputation, not on purpose, of being a city that is following the instructions and the directions of the Wasatch Front Regional Council and some of the legislature's housing initiatives. And I think that's good, and in some ways maybe it makes us feel a little uncomfortable, but I basically told him we were supportive of housing variety and housing types, but the one problem we have is the ADU bill that he's proposing would not allow us to regulate or require off-street parking associated with those ADUs. And so I think that's kind of an issue that we're still working through with him. And I know the League of Cities and Towns is working through it with him also, because I've talked to them about this as well. The other thing I would say just generally, and I think I'm in kind of Craig's category, there's some initiatives that have not been numbered in bills yet, but there is a groundswell of opposition. Maybe opposition is not the right word, but of storytelling about cities who are not being fair with developers and builders about their fees. And it's being put forward as local government is a barrier to housing affordability. Now, I think local government fees can be barriers to housing affordability, but there are lots of other barriers too. And so as we have a chance to look at bills, as I have a chance to participate in committees, again, both in the league and outside of the league, I'm getting involved in those sorts of discussions. I also did a survey by requesting information about building permitting and fees through the Utah City Management Association. The league asked me to reach out and do a little bit of work on that. So I've put some data together for them. This was a couple of months ago, not necessarily right now, but I provided the Utah League of Cities and Towns with some information about cities and that research, even though it's not university level research, would indicate that cities really don't raise fees very often. The price, the percentage of city fees as a cost of housing is increasingly diminishing as housing prices go up. So anyway, there's lots of ways to look at that issue. I just wanted to let the council know I'm staying involved in those. So,
Ken, one question. I've heard a rumor that the legislature's floating the idea of doing away with cities permitting.
Yeah, that's an idea that's out there.
Uh-huh. And, you know, having to deal with Salt Lake City all the time, you know, we wait 2 months for a simple TI build out. And, but I thought that was kind of an issue. I didn't know if it had a lot of support, but I guess basically if an architect puts a stamp on something, they're saying, you know, we've reviewed local building codes and this is good to go. And it bypasses the cities altogether on the permitting process.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, and that has been floated around and discussed. And so I don't know if there's a bill on it, but it is an idea that's out there. So,
I would support it. I would support Salt Lake City.
Yeah,
having to live by it. I don't know about North Salt Lake City, but
just so you know, I've always taken the approach with the league staff that if we have communities that are not in compliance with state law, you know, because they're not allowed to take 2 months on a building permit, the state law wouldn't allow that. You know, that the league and others, members of the league, should be working with those cities to get them to come into compliance. Because when we have, out of 248 cities, if we have half a dozen who are high growth cities who are violating the law, then all the cities in Utah get punished for that bad behavior. So anyway, it's a frustrating issue. I think the private sector could have a role in that. And I don't know that it would, if it's done properly, I don't know that that's a real problem. So.
I mean, right now we source out our contract plan reviews, and I think we source out inspections at times. So it's not like
sometimes. And we don't source out a lot of plan review. Larry Palmer's a very, he's got a lot of licenses. And so sometimes we do on bigger buildings and things.
Yeah, I know we've done it in the past.
Yeah. So
I don't know that it would be terrible. All right. Well, let's go ahead and end our work session then. If you have more things to report, Ken, then I'll invite you to, I'll give you another chance at the end of our regular session.
Okay, thank you.
But I'd like to welcome everyone to our regular session of the City Council. It is January 19th, 2021. I'm Mayor Len Arvey, and we've got a full council here this evening. The first item on the agenda is citizen comment. I don't know if there are any citizens that are in attendance that would like to address the council. If so, I would invite you just to unmute your mic and say something, and then I'll go ahead and recognize you. Okay, doesn't look like we have any citizen comment. So the next item on the agenda is the ratification of my Planning Commission appointments. So it's January, and that means new Planning Commission members are coming in. We opened up the process, and I was very impressed. We had a lot of great applicants that applied, and it was by no means an easy decision, but I did settle on two. The first one, let me see, who do I have here? Catherine Mouse. And Catherine's here tonight, so I might give her a chance just to introduce herself. But Catherine works currently for, she's a director of public engagement and conservation with Utah Open Lands, which I think will be very helpful for our planning. Trying to get my thing situated here. She's also just finished her master's degree. I'm not sure exactly what her master's degree is in, but I interviewed her and she was, she seems to have the disposition to be a great member of the Planning Commission. She volunteers in a variety of things right now, and she's excited to go ahead and be a member of our Planning Commission. So Catherine, I saw that you're online. Would you like to just say something and introduce yourself?
Sure, yeah, thank you so much for that introduction. My name is Catherine Moss. I've lived in North Salt Lake for about 2 years. And as Mayor Arvey said, I'm just finishing up my master's degree in environmental chemistry and biology. And as you said, I work for Utah Open Lands. So I hope to kind of bring a lens of conservation to this planning commission. And I'm just really grateful for your consideration and hopeful that I'll be able to represent this community that I cherish. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And she'll be replacing Steve Garn, who's done a great job. I talked to Steve today, and we'll have him at another time where we can recognize Steve and Kent Kirkham. The other new person on the that I talked to was Ron Jorgensen. Ron has been vice president of Western Pipeline for Dominion Energy. He oversaw six states. He's a licensed engineer. He has been the chair of the Utah Food Bank for the last year. He's just come off that, so I think he's still serving as the past president, I believe. Anyway, he'll do a fabulous job. Again, has the disposition I think we need to be a part of this council, and very appreciative that he'd be willing to participate with us. Ron, would you like to chime in and introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Mayor. It's nice to be with everybody here this evening. Certainly appreciate the introduction, and you know, as a retired business executive, I want to stay engaged in the community. I am a long-term resident of North Salt Lake, as I talked to the mayor and others. I've been in this house in 25 years. We've raised three kids here, so this community is home, and you know, I look forward to the opportunity to serve.
Thanks, Ron. I should apologize to Catherine. I pronounced your last name wrong. I'm brushing up on my German, and I used the German pronunciation for her last name.
No problem. Thanks.
Americanized it a little bit. And then the other person that, and I didn't invite Ted Knowlton, but Ted Knowlton will be replacing Kent Kirkham. I think you all know Ted. He's actually been serving. He'll just be filling a different person's spot. So with that, I don't know if the council has any questions, but I'd like to ask for the ratification of my Planning Commission appointments.
Mayor, I just had one question.
Yeah.
I guess kind of what part of the cities do each of the candidates live in?
So Catherine lives in Foxborough. So she'll be replacing Steve Garn. And then Ron lives up on the hill on the west side of the golf course up there on, what street do you live on, Ron? I can't remember.
Scenic Hills Circle.
Scenic Hills, if you remember where Scenic Hills is.
Yeah. Okay.
Mayor, I would like to make a motion to approve Ron Jorgensen and Catherine. I'm going to need someone to say it for me.
Moss.
As members of the North Salt Lake Planning Commission.
Could I get you to put Ted Knowlton in there as well?
Oh, yes. And of course, Ted Knowlton.
Have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Have a second by Lisa Baskin. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. So that motion was unanimous. The next item on the agenda. Catherine and Ron, thank you. You're welcome to stick around for the rest of our meeting if you'd like some excitement. If you've had too much excitement, then I understand you wanting to leave, but we're getting ready to talk budgets. Anyway, we'll move forward. The next item on the agenda, if I can get here, is a public hearing and consideration of Resolution 2021-03-R, a resolution amending the fiscal year 2020-2021 City of North Salt Lake General Fund, Debt Service Fund, Capital Fund, Road Capital Fund, Water Fund, Irrigation Water Fund, Stormwater Fund, Solid Waste Fund, Golf Fund, and Fleet Fund budgets. Janice, I'll just go ahead and let you give us a brief introduction to this, and then I'll open the public hearing.
Hey, thank you, Mayor. As you mentioned in your packets, resolution number 2021-3R. Also in the packet was a memo summarizing the adjustments we're recommending and a schedule. I'm going to go over the schedule and I'm going to hit just the highlights. Most of the information in the memo, the city manager, Ken Leatham, had gone into quite a bit of detail in the last council meeting. And so I didn't want to spend a lot of time on that going over it again, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those. So the first item, the most significant, is the budget increase for sales tax revenues. As we've mentioned in previous meetings, we were very conservative with that estimate. So far this year, for the first 4 months, what we've received is $150,000 higher than the previous year and $400,000 higher than what we had budgeted. So I feel like this budget adjustment we're recommending is still on the conservative side. So that's the most significant increase. The other significant increase is we received the third tranche of the CARES Act funds for $549,000. So those are two significant revenue increases in the budget, in the general fund budget. There's also some increases in transportation tax. Again, we were conservative with those and they're coming in stronger than expected. The other item, the only revenue that we've really seen a decrease in is the courts. And we're hoping, I don't know that by the end of the year we'll see a big difference in that, but we are expecting a decrease of about $170,000 in that area. So those kind of cover the highlights of the general fund revenue adjustments we were wanting to make. In expenditures, we would like, because the revenues have come in so much stronger than expected, to move $215,000 over into the fleet fund to purchase 4 new police vehicles that are needed. You'll see that item again down in the fleet fund as revenue, and that's where we actually budget the expenditure. So in the general fund, we're budgeting just moving it over to the fleet fund. And then the other significant adjustment we wanted to make is to the benefits and wages. As we've mentioned, we put a hold on the non-sworn officers on both COLAs and step increases, and we would like to reinstate those or adopt a budget that includes a 2% COLA and then step increases for employees that qualify for those step increases. And we would like to retroactive that to July 1st. In the general fund, you can see that's $110,000 for the wages and another, $110,000 for both the wage and the benefits. And the other item is taking the current part-time planner to a full-time budgeted. And that $19,000 is to the end of the year. So that's not for a full year. That's just taking that position. And part of that position was already funded, which is why that's only $19,000. So the most significant expenditure we're proposing, it's not an expenditure, it's really just a transfer over to the capital fund from the general fund. So when you look at that 1.3 million, that's made of a couple of items. One, our revenues actually came in stronger last year than we expected. So we have a really decent fund balance when we started. And then we've got the increase in the sales tax and the some of the CARES Act money that we would like to take that fund balance and move it over into the capital fund to be budgeted for projects in the future. Then we're also transferring over the additional tax, the road tax money that you saw above as revenue. We're transferring that over to the road fund for projects. And also an additional 800,000, that's just general fund unrestricted money because we know that we're behind in the roads projects. And that's just a first attempt to try to catch up with some of those road projects that need to be done. And then also we have actual some further CARES Act other than personnel costs for equipment and supplies related to COVID that are directly related. And we would like to increase the budget for 85,000. And then we are reducing, actually it's kind of a net effect on fund balance, but the we're decreasing the contribution to fund balance, but keep in mind how much money we've transferred to other funds. So we're not really spending per se that money in the general fund. For the most part, we've transferred it for other uses over to other funds. So that's pretty much the summary of the general fund. I don't know if you have any questions about those general fund before I move on to other funds.
Did we have an increase in BNC funding year over year or just an increase over the budget?
I'm not sure, Mayor. I don't think there's a significant increase from the prior year. We've actually only gotten two payments on that, so, and they're not always even, you know, so I can probably answer that a little bit better for you when we've gotten another payment or two.
Okay. I would expect the BNC funds to be down, certainly down, so.
From the prior year, yeah. But they are still much better than what we budgeted. So, but again, we were very conservative on that. Over in the debt fund, that's really similar to the sales tax because that's also, of course, tied to point of sale. So we were conservative with the budget. We're looking like we're going to come in around 138,000 higher than budget. That's going to bring that total revenue to 483,000. Just to kind of a point of reference, the debt service payment that's due from that every year, both principal and interest, is about $260,000. In the capital fund, you can just see we're transferring in the $1.3 million, and then it's just an adjustment to fund balance. We're not proposing any expenses yet in the capital fund. In the road fund, you can see the transfers in of the total is $1,015,500. And then we are adding in the road fund phase three of the North Eaglewood Loop project. I'm going to move right into the water fund because you can also see the new project there of $454,000. Those two projects are related, both the water and the road project for that third phase of Eaglewood Loop. The other minor adjustment in the water fund, that is for wage and benefit increases we mentioned above for the COLA and the STEP. I won't go through each individual fund. That wage and benefit you can see are in secondary water, stormwater, solid waste, and in the golf fund. That's what those changes are. And then, so finally in the fleet fund, we are transferring in $215,000 and budgeting a use of $215,000 to actually purchase the vehicles. The chief is going to go through the detail of those vehicle replacements in the next item. And then the other item in the fleet fund is, again, the wage and benefit increase. So that's just kind of a highlight of those. I don't know if you have any questions on any of that.
Are there any questions from the council? If not, I'll go ahead and open the meeting to the public and invite public comment. Is there anyone who would like to address the council on this resolution? Okay, I don't hear any public comment. With that, I'll ask for a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Brian Horrock, seconded by Natalie Gordon. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, so the public hearing is now closed then, and we will consider resolution 2021-03R. Are there any comments from the council, or is there a motion to approve the resolution?
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution 2021-03R, proposing a mid-year budget adjustment.
Motion by Stan Porter, seconded by Brian Horrox. We'll do a roll call vote. Natalie?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Brian?
Aye.
Lisa?
No.
Okay. Do you have a comment, Lisa, or you're just not comfortable with it?
My first comment is I don't think that we should have Brian Horrox voting on this. I think he should have recused himself. And secondly, I'm not certain if we're out of the woods. I know it's the monies came in excess of what we had expected, but I would err on the side of caution before I just spend the money that we have in excess.
Okay. Well, thank you for those comments. I will note that the motion passed 4 in favor with Councilwoman Baskin opposed. The next item on the agenda is consideration of a proposed purchase of 4 police patrol cars in the amount of $211,600. Craig?
Thank you, Mayor. I
should call you Chief. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I appreciate Craig. Believe me. Thank you. I tried to be as descriptive as possible as the situation that we're in right now. One thing I know that I did not include in this memo, and that is intentionally left out, is that is what vehicles are we replacing right now? And the reason that those are not named is we are not sure how long it's going to take to get these cars once we get approval. We know that the vendors that we talked to, particularly Young Auto, do not have them in stock, but we will be bringing at least 4 vehicles to the council for surplus and disposal once these vehicles are received. And these cars that we'll be bringing for surplus and disposal, for example, one of them is a 2013 vehicle. Actually, 2 of them are from 2013. They're in their 8th year of service. And 4 of them are either over 100,000 or approaching 100,000 miles of police service, which I think we've explained in the past. That does not include a lot of idle and other engine wear and tear time that would be in a normal vehicle, such as my own personal vehicle or your personal vehicles. So these are in necessity of being replaced. I appreciate so much our city shops and our officers for the care that they take for a vehicle that allows it to, you know, get to 110, 115,000 miles and last 7 years. But with the service that they're put through, it's time to get these replaced. We'll also be trying to replace a couple more next year, but with this year's situation, we are going to replace our marked patrol vehicles, which are a little bit more expensive, and the prices continue to seem to go up faster for those. So we would like to get those replaced before we replace some of our unmarked vehicles.
Okay. And these are all Explorer models, is that what they are?
Yes, these are all the Ford Explorer SUV. These will also, the standard with Ford has now gone to the hybrid model, which really will save some of the wear and tear. We've got one of those in service right now. There are some drawbacks with it, especially keeping it warm for long periods in the field because it stops idling and starts to cool down. But I think that's a small issue. Talking to the officers, they do get substantially better gas mileage, and they do actually turn the engines off, so we start to mitigate some of that long idling time. I don't think it's unreasonable to expect at least 6 or 7 years out of these vehicles either. And their hybrid battery warranties are, I wanna say they're 5 years, they might be 6 years.
Thanks, Chief. Any idea when you'll go to full electric?
The full electric options are out there, and Teslas are just a little expensive right now. That's the problem. But.
Okay. All right. Is there any further discussion, or is there a motion to approve the purchase of 4 police patrol cars in the amount of $211,600?
I'll make a motion, Mayor. I move the City Council approve the purchase and equipment for 4 2021 Ford AWD Police Explorers at the cost of up to $211,600.
Second.
I have a motion by Stan Porter, seconded by Ryan Mumford. Let's do a roll call vote. Natalie?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Okay, that motion passed unanimously. The next item on the agenda is consideration of resolution 2021-02R, a resolution appointing a City of North Salt Lake representative as a member of the South Davis Rec District Administrative Control Board. I've been on that board. I'm roped into being the chair this year. Anyway, I would like to again reappoint myself to that position. That's my recommendation, or my request that I'm reappointed. So is there any discussion or a motion?
Mayor, I'll move that you're reappointed to that district.
Okay. I'll second that.
Motion by Brian Horrock, seconded by Natalie Gordon. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, that motion passed unanimously. Oh, any opposed? That motion passed unanimously. We've had the mayor's report. We've had the city attorney report. We've had a partial city manager report. Ken, did you have anything else?
Just one brief thing to let the council know on the paramedic, countywide paramedic service issue. I met with the county commission in a work session last week. And you might remember that there's 3 city managers that are representing the city manager's part of the equation. The Farmington city manager, Shane Pace, Clearfield's manager, JJ Allen, and I'm representing the South Davis Metro Fire District from our part of the county. The county commission was briefed on the project, and on particularly we had a discussion about 2 things: the tax, countywide tax, ending this year and then being picked up by the jurisdictions, the cities and districts in the county, and then the transition of paramedics from county sheriff's deputy units to a more traditional emergency medical response paramedic unit. And so if you remember, there'll be 11, when this is effective, which is really the end of 2022, we will have 11 paramedic units in the county, and countywide paramedic services will be greatly increased in the north part of the county, especially. The big advantage to North Salt Lake is that this tax, property tax inequity that's been going on for years will be resolved finally. That's the update there. Tomorrow, Shane Pace, who's the Farmington manager, will make the same presentation to the COG meeting so that all the mayors are up to date on what's going on too. So that's all I had, Mayor.
Okay, excellent, Ken. I appreciate your work on this. I know it's been a long time trying to get this change done, and I think it's a benefit for the county. You see the chief nodding his head as well. I know he's been frustrated with it. Well, 7:29. Anything else anybody wants to discuss? If not, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor? I see a lot of thumbs up.
Aye.
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 All right. I've got enough ayes to go ahead and close the meeting. Thank you all, and it's good seeing you, and hopefully someday we'll be back again in person.
It's just, you know, we miss meeting with everybody all together. So just so you know, yeah. Kind of fun to get out at 7:30, but it's also fun to be together.
So. Yeah, I'm not used to 7:30. So
yeah.
All right. Have a great evening, everyone.
Thank you so much. Bye.